Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which has the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. The presence of God is precious and important. God's continual presence is essential to our lives, and as Christians, we must desire it with all our hearts and seek to pursue it always. In this Monday's message, Bishop Dag will teach you from one of his latest books, The Anointing and the Presence, on why you need God's mighty presence to go with you in order to be effective throughout your life and ministry. Find out from today's teaching why the presence of God is so important and why you must not be a Christian who is comfortable operating outside of it.
Wow. North America is doing wonders. UK is also doing wonders. Beautiful. Ghana is not worried. Ghana is not worried. Ghana is not worried. If you do, we just release a song right now. Have you heard the song, Let's Sit and Talk? Yeah, we have options. All right. What a blessing. Father, we thank you for a great opportunity that we have in you today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to this important offering announcement. Amen. Through tithing, I shall begin to enjoy a flood of divine thoughts, divine ideas, dreams, and visions, which shall turn me into an envy of my world. Into the envy of my world. You'll be the envy of your world. Amen. Through tithing, I shall begin to enjoy a flood of thoughts, divine ideas, divine dreams, divine visions, which will turn me into the envy of my world. Amen. Amen. Now, this is not just a fantastic statement to tickle your fancies, but it is based on Genesis 28. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and vowed. And he said, if God will be with me and keep me in the way that I will go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house, then this stone shall be God's house. In other words, I will build God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. This is Israel. He made a promise personally, no law. There was no law or anything. The law came later. Moses came. This is Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Then after that, you have Joseph. Then you have Moses. So law is now coming some hundreds of years later. Just on his own, he woke up and he said, if God will be with me, I will give him a tenth of everything that he has given me. This between me and God. And this is the father of Israel, the nation Israel. Now, from that time, his life changed. This is where you hear the word Bethel. All right? Now, from that time, his life changed. And he began to be the very great person that God was making him out to. That was the beginning of the road to prosperity, the road to increase, the road to what we know even today as Israel. You must remember that Israel is a nation which has had its wealth systematically stolen from it over the centuries. If you want to know about that, just go to my book on how to neutralize curses. You'll see under the chapter of the curse of Moses, and you'll see how things played out. Because I listed the history in a point form, just 1, 2, 3, so you can see the whole thing. 1, number 2, number 3. In this year, they stole all their money when they were in France and they were kicked out. Then in this year, they stole all their money from them and were kicked out of Germany. Then it happened like that until the 1945 Second World War I, which was the last one. Right? They stole a lot of money. So even in the German high-ups, Hermann Göring, who was the deputy Führer, the deputy in charge to Hitler, was even in charge of receiving the wealth and the gold and the silver that they were looting from the people. And when they were killing the Jews in the gas chambers, they would always open their mouth and examine them, their mouth, and remove their gold teeth. And they pile up the gold from the gold teeth and melt it. And then they would cut off their hair of the Jews, 6 million of them, and use the hair for mattresses. And they would take their skin and use their skin sometimes to make lamps, lampshades, and all kinds of things. I mean, and they were systematically, by what they call the final solution, that the solution to all the problems in the world is our Jews. The solution is to kill Jews, because Jews are the cause of everything. So they are a group that have been through a lot of different things. Of course, there are people that don't like Israel, as with everything. But we are talking of Bible and what we believe based on our faith. So Jacob, this is the beginning of him on his way to go and find a wife and to start his life, his new career. And he vowed, if God will be with me, I promise him 10 of everything, 10%. Amazing. I don't know why he decided to do that. But this was an amazing beginning for him. Now, he went on his journey, and that's where he found in Genesis 29. He said, is this Laban and his well? And behold, Rachel, his daughter, comes with the sheep. So Jacob kissed Rachel, lifted up his voice, and wept. And Jacob told her that he was her father's brother, and that he was Rebekah's son. She ran and told her father. All right? And he said, you are bone of my bone. And Laban had two daughters, and the name of the elder one was Leah, and the young one was Rachel. So, you know, he was about to begin his life, just like many of us are about to begin our lives. Your life is beginning well. Amen. And now he's gotten two girls, all right, in one family. Okay? Now, Jacob loved Rachel. And nobody knows why somebody likes somebody, but the one he preferred was Rachel. And Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful. What it means is that Leah had a different kind of beauty and a different source or reason for being attractive. She was attractive for other reasons. Rachel was just beautiful-bodied. Do you see? Now, Laban said, it is better that I give you than I give it to another man. So stay. Okay? So Jacob served for 7 years for Rachel. Now, when it was a wedding day, they gathered all together. And verse 23, on the wedding night, in the evening, I don't know why they were having the wedding in the evening, but in the evening, he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him. And he went in unto her. Okay? And he also gave him a maid. So it's like, we're going to have an assistant wife. All right? And so she bore his children through her. That's why, like, there are people that ask, when did polygamy become a sin? Yeah. Is it something that was understood? Right? Monogamy was not practiced at all in the whole of the Bible. All right? That we believe in, our heroes. All right? So then Laban said, it must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the brother. So he said, it came to pass in the morning that, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, which also shows you that sometimes there's not so much difference. All right? What is this that thou hast done unto me? The difference is in the heart and the person. Okay? What have you done? Did I not serve you for Rachel? And so he was deceived. Thou hast beguiled me. Beguile means to deceive. Okay? So Jacob fulfilled her week and gave him Rachel, his wife, as his wife also. So there, he became the husband of two women, which he had not expected. Do you see? Yeah, and you can become the husband of two women without intending. In my book, The Beauty, the Beast, and the Pastor, there's a chapter on how you can become the husband of two women without intending. Two. It's possible. So be careful. Yeah. Now, they all started to have children. Plenty of children started to come. All right? And then the story goes on. Now, in chapter 31, we see a problem beginning to arise. Every problem that is arising in your life is the beginning of your great blessing. Amen. And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that is our father, because Jacob started to be prosperous on his own, all right, even though he was working for Laban. So don't say that you can't prosper when you are working under somebody or with someone. Not everybody is called to be independent. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. In other words, Laban used to be happy with him, but now Laban was not so happy with him. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers, to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. So the prosperity had already started, even though he was an employee. You see now? And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah. And notice, and he said, I see your father's countenance, that it is not towards me as before. You see, that's why when we say, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee. It's like a certain man of authority's attitude and face towards you marks out how things are going to be. He's not happy with you, not happy to see you, not happy about you. I see your father's countenance. So the Lord lift up his countenance. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. And he said, I can see that your father's countenance is not toward me as before. But the God of my father has been with me, even though your father's countenance is different. As you know, okay, in verse 6, with all my power, I have served your father. And your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God suffered him not to hurt me. Okay? So when you work in the world system, you find out that the goalpost keeps changing. That's why people who work in banks and have huge salaries don't become so rich. Because many things keep shifting. And if you are not clever, you will not see. I mean, when people mention to you their salaries, even those living in Ghana, when we hear the salaries of people that are abroad, we just wonder that why are they not millionaires? And when you hear the salaries of bank workers, especially bank, because they claim that they are dealing with money and they always have these huge salaries. Or even you can even know that the bank is not a solvent bank. That alone can even show you this bank will collapse. Because how do you pay all these people? What work do they do? Yes, all these people in this glass building, what do they do? They're always sitting there with papers, counting things. They don't do any active, productive work per se. We can't see what they are building. You know, anyway. It's everybody and his opinion. Just as people look at the church and say, what God does the pastor do? He just stands there to preach 45 minutes. So it's a way of talking. So don't be offended. If you work at a bank, keep working there. It's a blessing. All right. Now, it says, your father has deceived me. And that is one of the main characteristics of the world. Laban represents the world. There's a lot of deception in the world. You know, people who are going to America, they thought, when I get there, that's it. People were going to Canada. They said, when I get to Canada, that's it. People said, when I get to England, that's it. I've made it. Do you see? Jackpot. But there's so much deception in the world. And as you get there, you find out that it's not as it keeps moving. You get there and realize that, okay, your degree is from KNUST. And KNUST degree, they don't know it. They know Harvard, they know Columbia, they know Yale, they know whatever. So then you Cornell. So you start again. I'm going to redo my university so that I can say I went to Yale. Now, so that the wages have changed already once you started. But first, it was the visa. Then you got the visa. When you got the visa, I realized that, you don't have Yale, you don't have this, you don't have that. Now you go to the Yale and you do all. When you finish, you are now older. So they said, the older, I'll come to the accent. The older is not working. Your age, we needed you younger because the graduates from Yale and so on, they're around 22, 21, 22, 23. So you are now 31. It's like your bones are dense. Bone density. Then after that, they say your accent. We had a job interview. Your accent. Where do you train? So you say Yale. No, which Yale? You don't fit there. Then after you start to fit for some time, you see what you can fit. Then after time, you realize that you are black. You are not white. They find that black is different from white. It looks all the same when you are in Africa. When you see Oprah Winfrey, T.D. Jakes, all the black people, they look like this is America. But when you go there, you find out there are two countries in one. Then after that, you find out, I'm in New York. I should move to Atlanta. I should move deeper. And they on and on and on and on and on. And it keeps changing. So he said, your father changed my wages 10 times. But God suffered him not to hurt me. You will not suffer loss. Amen. Now, if he said, all right, the speckled shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said, the ring streak shall be thy hair, then bear all the cattle ring streaked. Do you understand? Yes, thus God hath taken away the cattle, do you see, of your father and given them to me. In other words, they will have a meeting and they say, okay, from today, if there are spots on the cattle, it's for you. You can put them on one side and the rest are mine. What do I know? Getting many with spots. When it says for that, it just happened that all the cattle give birth to spotted cows. How? Then he called and he said, no, we have to change it. No more spotted. Ring streak. That is like a zebra. And you know that there are very few cows who are coming with this type of stripes. Suddenly, all of them. And it is not Jacob's fault too. So he said, this is how God took away the wealth of your father to me. We had such meetings 10 times. And each time it went in my favor. It's like somebody who is gambling and taking lotto, and each time the number that he chooses is what comes. Don't go and do that. Verse 10. But I want you to see divine ideas. Verse 10. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived, that I lifted up mine eye. And I saw in a dream. That's why I say God is going to give you divine thoughts and dreams and ideas that will make you prosper and make it in life and in the ministry. Amen. Amen. I saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ring-streaked, speckled, and grizzled. And the Lord spoke unto me in a dream, Jacob, here I am. And he said, lift up thine eyes and see. All the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring-streaked, speckled, and grizzled. For I have seen that all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, where thou vowest a vow unto me. I am the God of what? Bethel. Remember, where you vow to me. Yeah, where you promised me 10%. Huh? I am the God of the place where you promised me 10%. I am that God. Yeah. Now arise and get thee out from this land. I am the God, amen, whom you promised to me 10%. I'm the God who was there at that time. I saw it. And I have blessed you. Ladies and gentlemen, there is more to prosperity than meets the eye. Yes, there's more. There's much more. It's not just hard work. There are many things, 10 changes in life that can deduct everything that you are getting. Yes. In a normal life. And the participation of God in what you are doing is what makes all the difference. And I want everyone who is watching to have faith in God, because I don't even know why you would join this service if you don't really believe in God. I don't know why you'd be listening to what I'm saying if you don't really believe in God. So let us decide to really just believe in God. Believe in tithing. He says, and he told, I am the God. Do you remember what you said in Bethel? That you do this, this will be your house, and that I'll give you a tenth. I'm the God. I'm that God. And I've given you all these spotted cows and what have you. And that's the beginning of the prosperity of Israel. So that's why you see that even the Mercedes Benz that was used by Hitler, if you see Hitler's convoy, it was Mercedes Benz's. The Mercedes Benz was invented by Jews. Even that car, a German car. Today, many Jews don't use Mercedes Benz. One time I was with a Jew somewhere, and I saw his car outside, the poshest Volvo. He said, I don't use German cars. He said, our family, we don't use German cars. And he said, any good German is a dead German. This is the only German I know. Any good German is a dead German. These are their policies, from what they've experienced. Yeah. So we don't use anything German. Yes. But even that car was built by Jews. And many of the inventions in the world that we are using from Jews. It's like you don't know why God would choose that and bless, but is this supernatural blessing? So now I feel today that there's going to be a supernatural flood of divine ideas, divine direction, divine thoughts, divine dreams and visions, which shall turn you into the envy of your world. Listen, years ago, I remember a lot. I felt the Lord spoke to me. But you see, they are like thoughts and ideas and visions. Let me start churches in Accra. Yeah, I remember. We had only one church at Kolegono. Let me start more churches. Adenta, Achimota, here, here, and here. Yeah. I remember. I interacted with somebody and I felt after that, I'm going to do this. Now, one day, I remember I was in Elmina. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I was lying on a bed. Start churches in Ghana, the whole country. Yes. Start churches in the whole country. We didn't really have churches. I remember flood of divine ideas. I was in Switzerland. Starting a church in Switzerland. The truth is that it was my sisters who kept on encouraging me. Come to Switzerland. We need a church that you have in Ghana. We want it here as well. We don't have any good church here that we like. So I eventually agreed and went. Not that like the Holy Spirit has spoken to me, the vision, light. I wish it was. I wish that I can say all that. It would have been very nice. It sounded very powerful. But the truth is that my sisters were calling me. I said, okay, I'll come. And I went and started a church. But whilst I was there, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, go to London and start a church. Go to London. And I was 29 years old when I was starting the church in Switzerland. Divine ideas. When I was exactly 30 years old, on my bed there, I was walking in London, starting the church. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me that 30 years ago, you were born here. And now you have come to start a church here. It's the beginning of something. Yes. An international ministry. A divine flood of divine thoughts. Divine ideas, divine dreams, divine visions, divine decisions will turn you into the envy of your world. Amen. Your colleagues will envy you. People around you will be surprised at what you turn into. And I believe that all these, you see, the thought and the idea is actually the prosperity. Yeah. When you just say, look, would you like to take the spotted or this one? So, of course, the spotted are very few. Okay, let me give you. You can take the spotted. And suddenly it becomes the main thing. Yeah, it becomes the main thing. It becomes everything. Yeah. A flood of divine ideas, divine thoughts. And this is how God prospered Jacob. And I believe that he's going to prosper you and bless you with many divine ideas, visions, dreams, thoughts. A flood of them are coming into your life. As you vow to God, a tenth I will give to you. I don't need any law to tell me that 10% belongs to you. I don't need any human being to tell me what to do. I know that you are everything I have is from you. And of everything you give me, I'll give you a tenth. So take out your tithes at this time. Take out your offerings. And let's give, you know, in such a way as to provoke God's grace and have faith as you are giving. That's, I mean, a tradition. Me, I don't like traditional things. I want real things. Can I have an amen from somebody? Yeah. I want real things that are real and nice and powerful. You know, not just a tradition which you give. So here's the 10 CDs. You know, let's give. And I know as we go forward, as we embark on this great advancement, financial ascendancy, you are going to be part of it. And I know that I can sense that, like, if 60% of the church was paying tithes or 40%, now 80% are going to pay tithes, including you. Yes, and are going to give generously. And more people are giving generously, building cathedrals. Because we have just started 101 cathedrals, which is going to cost us maybe about $10 million. Yeah, by the time we finish. Yeah. And I've given many people the opportunity to participate in it. And I know that you are going to be part of it as we build 100 cathedrals. Yes. Yeah. Beautiful. I know. And I sense the building anointing. Yeah. All over the place. Different people are rising up. Even my branches, our branches and our churches everywhere that were not building before, suddenly building. This is another one in Kingdom in Freetown. This is another Kingdom project. This is a Kingdom Cathedral. Yeah, you may not know. This is one of our buildings in Freetown. Beautiful. This is Jewy. These are first love ones. That one is, what's the other church called? Catch the Anointing in Freetown. Yeah. Okay, whatever. This is a different one. Beautiful. You see, I don't even know the names of the churches. There are so many of them. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I've become like somebody who has so many children that before I realized, I heard of one chief in one region somewhere. He had so many children and he saw one of them and wanted to marry. He said, I'd like to. No, it was his daughter. Because he had so many children, he didn't know who they were. He said, come, you are very beautiful. And it was one of his children. Yeah. So that's one of the things that happen when you have many children. When you see them, you don't even know them. You don't even know their names. What a blessing. Is it exciting? Is it powerful? Are you happy to be giving? Do you believe that God controls money and controls wealth? I believe it. I believe it. Flood of ideas. Flood of thoughts. Flood of dreams and visions is your portion. Good ideas changing your life and your ministry are happening right now. Father, thank you for the good things you are giving as we sow our special seed. From Sierra Leone to Ghana to Switzerland to England to America, Canada, South Africa, all across the world, the Kodesh, everywhere that is part of this service. Bless mightily with mighty floods of divine thoughts, divine ideas, dreams, and visions. Turn everyone who is part of this offering into the envy of their world. I thank you for your supernatural power of financial control that is taking place in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah. As they tithe, I know God is giving them new ideas and new dances so that we don't just keep repeating every week. Amen. What a blessing. Are you excited to be in the house of God? I can't hear you. Are you excited to be in God's house? It's time to hear the word of God, and it's time to be changed by the preaching of God's word. And the presence of God is already here. How many of you are blessed by all those songs we heard today from the churches in America, in the UK, and in Kenya? Amen. We are blessed to be in many places, but still be one body. Amen. And we are a worldwide congregation with one pastor. And so it's exciting in these times, although this evil coronavirus is keeping us from meeting physically, we are gathering as one global congregation to hear from one shepherd, our pastor, and the person that the Lord himself sent to us. The Bible says, Jeremiah 3:15, I will give you pastors. And I believe that our pastor was given by God. It wasn't given by the government, and it wasn't given by our choice. It was delivered unto us from the Lord. And I believe that every good and perfect gift comes from above. And so we're about to hear from our pastor, or as a good friend of mine would say, our personal person. And if you are as excited as I am to hear from Pastor Dag Hewitt Mills, who also happens to be a bishop, then let's sing this song of faith, which says, nothing is impossible.
When you put your trust in God,
come on, declare over your life, nothing is impossible. When you're trusting in His word, is there anything too hard? One more time, everyone declaring that nothing is impossible. You feel your heart filling with faith. Come on, lift those hands and sing, nothing is impossible. Come on, isn't He a good God?
Hearken to the voice of God.
Is there anything too difficult for my God? Then put your trust. Come on, this afternoon, surrender your trust, surrender your faith in God alone. Rest on His word
for everything.
Yes, everything. Yes, everything is possible. Yes, it is possible with God. Put your hands together. Let's welcome the preacher for today, Bishop Dag Hewitt Mills. Come on, put your hands together for Jesus.
Hallelujah. Father, we give you thanks for the opportunity that we have this afternoon. We are grateful. Guide us by your mighty power in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, today I want to begin to share with you about the anointing and the presence of God. The anointing and the presence of God. And I believe that the presence of God is something you are going to desire more than anything else. Amen. Now, the presence of God, number one, why do you need His presence? You need His presence to go with you because Moses needed the presence of God. In Exodus 33 and verse 14, he said, my presence shall go with thee. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. So Moses is the person who introduced the concept of the presence of God. And Moses said, I do not want to exist without your presence. Now, the presence of God If you want to understand it, you best understand it by considering the presence of someone you know or someone important, and you will understand the presence of God more, or like it will quickly become real to you. You see, because for me, long ago, I remember one time my wife had a baby, and she was watching, at that time she began to watch these Christian channels. So, well, she was at home a lot, so she was watching it. So it made me also see a lot of the things. And I noticed that some of the programs were not attractive. Now, I couldn't hear. It was like I was watching a soccer match. So for some of them, like maybe even a soccer match would be sometimes more interesting. And I found them, I couldn't get anything at all out of it. And I realized that there was something, the word was there. Scriptures were there. Powerful people were there. Congregations were there. But I couldn't feel something, do you see? And that was one of the first times that I began to notice that there's a difference between someone who has the presence of God, or God is present, or God is not there. And you can have the presence of God and not have, you can have things happening, but there's no presence. And so Christians need to know that God needs to be with you in what you are doing. And Moses was the first person who said, yeah, I should go to where? To go and lead who? Look at these people, how they are. I should go and try to lead people and do something when you are not with me. Yeah, I will not go. So let us learn the first lesson that Moses knew too well to want to do something when God was not going to be part of it. It was not going to be present. Number two, you need his presence. I'm in chapter one of the book. To go with you because of your weaknesses, your dishonor, and your corruption. All right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he describes the dead. He said, so is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in glory. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, and it is raised a spiritual body. What is he describing? I'm going to read from the book. At your funeral, you will be put in the ground. The scripture teaches that your body will be sown in weakness, in dishonor, and in corruption. There is no human being who goes into the ground who doesn't go down with these three descriptions: in weakness, in dishonor, and in corruption, including the goodest person. Do you see? Yeah. It's not I don't know how to speak English that I good, goodest, gooderest. No. But I just want you to understand what I'm saying. Okay? The end of all men is the same. That is why we need Jesus Christ. We will go into the ground in weakness, in dishonor, and in corruption. How can someone who is weak, someone who is dishonorable, and someone who is corrupt be used by God? Moses was weak, corrupt, and dishonorable. He was wanted in Egypt for murder. He did not need anybody to tell him that he needed God's presence. He argued even with God. And he said, if your presence does not go with me, I'm not going anywhere. I can understand him. How many of you would like to go on a great mission without God? How many would like to go with God? All right? So beautiful. Now, the third reason why you and I need his presence, okay, is because you are nothing but grass. Okay? Grass. Isaiah 40 and verse 6. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. Huh? Look, do you understand the scripture? All flesh, I am flesh, is grass. You are grass, I am grass. The goodliness of you, the good part of you, is a small part. The flower of the field is appearing for a short while and vanishing away. So the goodness, goodliness of everybody is short-lived. You don't have to be married for long before you see that the goodliness is small. People don't want to talk true things. You know, people want to give good impression, which is another of the evils. The hypocrisy and the pretense is plenty. Are you with me? Yeah. The acting is a lot. But if people are to be truthful about their lives, you'll find out that the goodliness of the goodest, unless, okay. I withdraw my statement. Isaiah is wrong. Isaiah is wrong. No, I've drawn everything. So Isaiah is wrong. It's okay. You, for you, Isaiah is wrong. Me, I'm going with Isaiah. You, Isaiah, and therefore, surely by his stripes you are healed is also wrong. And we have gone astray. He has sent a son. And to us a son is born and a child is given. All those are wrong, please. They are all wrong. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. We've canceled all those verses this afternoon. Arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is upon you. It's no more. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. It's whatever. No. We've canceled all verses. Because there's a mistake here. Shall we keep this one too? The voice said, cry. What shall I cry? Cry that all flesh is grass. And the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. Turn to your neighbor in the house, even if it's your mother or your father, and say, stop acting. Stop acting. Now, the grass withereth. Huh? The grass what? Withereth. And the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. You are grass. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our Lord stands forever. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, you find out that we are nothing. And apart from being nothing, we are fading. Now let me read Leviticus 27 for you. All right? And Leviticus 27 verse 2 in the New Living Translation, because that will be easier for you to understand. I will not have to explain a lot of things. All right? Now, give the following instructions, okay, to the children of Israel, all right? If anyone makes a special vow to dedicate someone to the Lord by paying the value of that person, the what? The value, and Isaiah has told us that all flesh is what? Grass. Now, listen, Here is the scale of the values to be used. A man between the ages of 20 and 60 is valued at 50 shekels of silver. When you are between the ages of 20 and 60, you are valued at 50 shekels of silver, as measured by the sanctuary silver. Okay? Then it goes on. A woman of that age. Don't be angry with me, please. I beg you in the name of Jesus. I beg you in the name of Jesus, please. Don't be angry with me. All right? Yes. A woman of that age is valued at 30 shekels of silver. So the man's value is 50 shekels and the woman's value 30 shekels. Don't be angry with me, I beg you. Discounted. Now, a boy between the ages of 5 and 20 is valued at 20 shekels of silver. So when you are not yet 20, you are just valued at 20 shekels of silver. All right? Now, a boy between 1 month and 5 years is valued at 5 shekels of silver. Okay? And a girl of that age is valued at 3 shekels of silver. Now, the difficult one is coming up here in verse 7. It says, a man older than 60. You see, between 20 and 60, your value was what? 50 shekels. Now, it says that a man older than 60 is valued at 15 shekels of silver. That his value has dropped from 50. If you can remember the verse before, 20 to 60, he was worth 50 shekels. Now, after 60, his value has dropped to 15 shekels of silver. And the woman's value has also faded. And she's now valued at 10 shekels. And she used to be 30 shekels before she got to 60. You are fading. Is the fading happening or is it not happening? It's happening practically. I told you to have your quiet time in Leviticus, but you didn't mind me, so I have to share with you. Yeah. You see, here again, you see the fading. You see the grass nature. And it's true. And that's why retirement is around 60. And that's why if there's something you have to do for the Lord, between the ages of 20 and 60, do your best. If you are around after 60, it's extra time to show some value, some last minute things you didn't do. Yes. And if you are between 20 and 50, 20 and 5 and 50, I mean, Charlie, this is it. This is it. And you see that even though you are present, your value is less. There are so many things you can, loud noise. You see that by 8 o'clock you need to sleep. You see that you are woken up by 5 a.m. You are listening to the birds. If you don't pray, you are listening to radio. Yeah. It's different. So those of us who've been toying, when God wants to use a young man, or God wants to use your child, God wants to use you, you see pastors in our church telling them that, you know, you have to be careful. How many missionaries are successful? One pastor of a late pastor was telling, how many missionaries are successful? Why these things you are doing? They are dangerous. Why don't you get a financial foundation before you do? Why are you doing all those things? You see, and 60 is coming. And those of us who have been serving God and trying to do the ministry, how has it destroyed our lives? And all the missionaries and the people that have gone, when you even ask them to leave, they'll hate you so much for asking them to leave that place. It's amazing. But you see that people don't realize that, look, it's a short time. Our lives are really grass. And when the day comes and it's over, that's it. It's gone. So, brothers and sisters, because we are so nothing, if God was not with us, will be very nothing at all. And that's why when you are preaching and God is not with you, it's nothing. When you are doing anything and God is not with you, you are grass which is trying to do something. You can't even be used to make a whip. You can only be used to make a grass hat or something. That's why we need the presence of the Lord. What can grass accomplish? What can withering grass accomplish? What can a fading flower? From 20 to 60, you were worth 50 shekels. That's why the bank wanted you to work for them, because you were still valuable. But when your value went down, so now I'm a missionary for God. You know, when I first started sending missionaries, I didn't understand some of these things. I saw a brother who was much older, and I sent him on a mission field. I was there one day, I got a letter. Those days, I think we didn't have WhatsApps and all this. I got a letter, several sheets. And the letter was written in capital letters. Yes. And some sections were underlined, some were in red. You know, I didn't even understand what he was saying. After some time, I said, you know, return. Because I learned that at a certain age, the abilities and the concerns of a person and the issues are different. You send a young person who is very flexible and capable of many things. Indeed, our value is very little. Yeah. And that is why we must do everything to have the presence of God with us. Amen. Number four. The reason why we need his presence is because you are a man of unclean lips. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 6, from verse 1, it says, a man of unclean lips. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. No matter who dies or who lives, the work of God goes on. So even though King Uzziah had died, Isaiah was seeing the Lord. High and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And he saw seraphims, and one cried to another, holy, holy, holy. Is there a song like that? Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. Rise to thee.
Holy, holy, holy. Merciful and mighty. God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
Isaiah saw it and he said, holy, holy.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Early in the morning, our song shall rise.
Sing it with us in your house, wherever you are, holy, holy. And he heard angels singing and speaking, and he realized that God was very great and that he was nothing at all, and that anything about him was just grace. Then he also said, woe is me. Hey, I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He realized it. And honestly, if ever you ever encounter the presence of God, this is the way you will know that you have encountered the presence of God. And the reason I know this is because I experienced this myself many years ago. When I was in secondary school. And I went to a meeting. And at this meeting, we were fasting for 7 days. I'd never fasted before my whole life. That was the first time. And on the last day, I was the last person in the hall at the far right corner. And as we were in prayer, suddenly a figure appeared on my side in white. And the word that I can use is glistening. Glistening. And immediately, I felt, I've never had an experience like that before, again, dirty. And I felt like feces. Yeah, it was the presence of God. That's when God came to be with me in a certain way. And he came to be by my side. And his presence has been with me. Because a man of sin, of uncleanness, in the midst of equally unclean people, only by the presence of God can you be anything or do anything. Truly. There is nobody who amounted to anything in the Bible who does not have a certain interaction with God and a certain presence of God following him. I am a man of unclean lips. So, brothers and sisters, that presence going with you is what becomes the supernatural element around someone who is corrupt, who is genuinely, not that it's not a saying, it's not just a nice, a cliche or some words. Oh, we are all sinners. We are all sinners. God have mercy on us. God should forgive all of us. God have mercy. It's not just, they are not just, it's true. It's true. It's true. We are lacking. Yeah. We are lacking. Sometimes it takes a certain experiences for it to be revealed to you that you are lacking. One day I saw a certain sister who was like, by the standards that we have, do you see, everything good. Everything about her was good. Like by this time. You just think, I don't want to give the example because I don't want you to be disturbed. But just good. Good of everything. Like good, tick, 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 tick. Till her husband left her and said, I would not like to be with somebody like this. Then came, perhaps that's the grace of God, that a revelation that even though everything about you looks good, there is somebody even on earth who doesn't want to be with you. Yes. He said, I'd rather be whatever than to stay with this person. Oh, yes. Sometimes it takes a certain experience for yourself to be revealed to you. That you are not as good as you think you are. And this is what happened to Isaiah in the form of a vision. When he saw, holy, 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 how great God was.
Holy, holy, holy.
Lift your hand and sing it.
Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
Sing it with me for them at home. Lift your hand and sing it.
Holy, holy, holy.
Number five, you need the presence of God, because without Him, you can do nothing. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 5, I am the vine. You are just branches. You are just what?
Branches.
You are just what?
Branches.
You are just branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. In other words, he who stays close to me, abide in you, abide in me, means you are living in each other. It means you are close. So he who stays close to me brings forth much fruit. Your closeness to God is the basis of the fruits you bear. Yes. Your closeness to God is the basis of the fruits you can bear. Unless you are close to God, you cannot bear fruits for God. You are corrupt. You need more scripture to show you that you are grass, your flower is this, your goodliness is small. I mean, you have enough scriptures. Then he says, for without me, you can do nothing. What can grass do? What can unclean lips do? Nothing. Nothing. So, nothing means zero. Amen. And you need him to be endued with power. Amen. So, Jesus said, I will send the promise of my Father to be with you. And while not Bonke, you know, when he grew up, his father was a pastor. And it was an unusual connection for his father to be a pastor, because they were not Christians. But his father met a man in the field one day, and he was sick, and the man prayed for him, and he got healed. So that his father became a pastor. And as his father was growing up, he had different children. And when Bonke got saved also, he told his father, I'm going to preach in Africa one day. And his father told him, no, not you. My older son is going to be a preacher, not you. You are not good. And he said he was not good in school. I think in maths or in something. So he said that in their school or in their wherever they were, when you are not good, they call you a zero. So he was called a zero. That was another name that he was given, zero. You see. So he said that, yes, I'm a zero. But when Jesus stands by me like this, the zero becomes 10 straight away. And even there may be more zero, 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 zero. While Jesus stands by him like this, it becomes 100,000 million, 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 million. Hallelujah. And that is how it is in our useless life. Jesus standing by you and with you transforms your zeroness into something wonderful. Yes. You know, I'll tell you the truth. I go all over the world sometimes. Sometimes I'm met at airports. I remember one time I went to Trinidad. There was a large crowd of people clapping and welcoming me in Trinidad. And I was thinking to myself, wow, what are these people? But none of them are welcoming me because of I'm a doctor. It even sounds funny. I was in Mozambique. A large crowd of people were there. They were not welcoming me. They were singing. They were even singing at the airport. Can you imagine people singing at an airport as you've come? Crowds of people. Many airports. I was in Cape Town. I had the same experience because of my Heward Mills family. It cannot be possible. No, it's because of Jesus. You see, when Jesus stands by you, your zero becomes something else. So I found out that Jesus is the most important factor in my life. Yes, his presence with me is the most important thing about me. Oh, yeah, that's true. People who even receive me and accept me, normally a half caste, that's my color in Ghana, we are rejected. So don't mind red. You have so many names for us. Red. Obroni Peter, disappointed European, go to your country, Lebanese man, this. We have so many things that are said to us. But many people also listen to me in spite of that, because Jesus standing by the Obroni Peter. Even I was preaching one day when an interpreter made a mistake. He was not, I did not use the word that, but he used that word because it was what was in his head. It's what he normally says. Yes, about people like me. So he blurted it out. And it was very odd on the stage. Everybody was taken aback. Yeah. Obrody Peter is what? A wild vulture. Yes. Yeah. So the vulture with Jesus standing by your side, you get it? It becomes something great. So I don't know what name they call you. You get it? I don't know who wants to zero-fy you, eh? When Jesus stands by your side. I say, when Jesus stands by your side, you see how great you are. Look, Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is the hope of your niceness in this life. I'm telling you. Put Jesus aside, you become less than zero. Put Jesus aside, and you become less than zero. Amen. Are you there? Or you are leaving? Amen. Now, the presence of God, number six, will go with you and transform your destiny. I read this during the offering time. He said in Genesis 28, he said, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth and shall spread abroad to the east and to the west. In Genesis 28, verse 12, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee. Amen. Are you there? Behold what? I am where? I am where? With thee. I am with thee. I am with thee. I am with thee. And when God is with thee, he will keep thee in all thy ways. That's why Moses said, when you are blessing the children, bless them. The Lord lift up his countenance and the Lord keep thee. The Lord keep thee. The Lord keep you. Hallelujah. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. Amen. Be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. On this wise you shall bless the children of Israel. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you excited about this presence? Yeah. And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. Amen. And the last reason for this morning is in Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. It's a favorite verse of mine. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. In fact, when I was writing this book, I wanted to call the book after this verse. Wow. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. You know, when God is in your midst, that is, he's around. Do you get it? When God is around, it's different. Yes. When he's around, it's different. You know the effect. You know, sometimes you see there's a party or there's an important event, then there's an important person there. All right? Even though they are not mentioning his name, the person's presence is important. And when the person gets up and leaves, it spoils the party or it ends the party. So many times when I'm at places, I'm very conscious of that. Don't leave, when you leave in a way or at the wrong time, it's like you have ended the party or you've made like the spirit of the party has gone. Is it not true?
Yes,
yeah. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. What will he do when he's there? He will save.
Amen.
He will save. Yes. He will save. He will save. In your midst. So he's a savior. And then he says, he will rejoice over thee with joy. That's what you call a doting father who is kissing his children and very happy with his children. He will rejoice over thee with joy. God will rejoice over you with joy as he walks with you. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. You know, you don't know any verse in Zephaniah, but today you know one verse in Zephaniah. Yes. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. and he will rest in his love. And then he will joy over thee with singing. Wow. Can you imagine God singing about you? Huh? Singing about you. Marasota mandala babandala ba. My wife always told me the story of a girl in the school when she was going for her prize, and her mother would just come and dance over her and be mentioning her name. Imbile, and then she mentioned the name. Imbile, Imbile, and then that is Imbile means my child, my child, my child, my child. And she would clap over her, rejoicing over her child, joying over her with singing as she marched to collect the prize. And she would come and her mother would be saying, Imbile, Imbile, my child, and she would mention her name. That's how God will be rejoicing over you. He'll be clapping over you and say, that's my child. That's what he did to Jesus when he said, this is my beloved son. Yes. This is my child. This is my boy. This is my boy. This is my girl. He's rejoicing over thee with singing. Matoka paranda la babanda. May you go with the presence of the Lord wherever you are. May you not lack his power and his presence in every stage of your life. May the presence of God be with you all the days of your life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, thank you for your great blessing. Amen. That is coming upon us as we choose your presence over the presence of anybody else. If you not be there and you cannot be there, then we don't want to be there. And we don't want that thing. And we don't like that thing. If you will not be there and you cannot be there. Thank you that from today, every place that we go, you'll be with us. And any room that we go to, that you cannot be, you cannot be involved, you cannot be present, then Lord, we don't want to be at that place. Any job where you cannot go with us to rejoice over us with singing and to help us to rest in your love so that you joy over us with singing, we don't want that job and we don't want that place. Any experience, Lord, any high thing that your presence does not go with us, we thank you that today we will speak like Moses and say that if you will not go with us, we will not go. Father, thank you. Thank you for the great increase of your presence and your anointing upon everyone who is part of this amazing service, flow service from everywhere in the world, in Accra and across the nation and across the world. Thank you for your mighty presence and power. I prophesy the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Father, thank you for your presence in our church. Now lift your hand and pray that the presence of God will be in the church and that there will be nothing that will drive away the presence of God from the church from today. Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise for your mighty presence that is released according to Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Mighty God. Mighty God, mighty God, save us, Lord. Deliver us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Rejoice over us, Lord. Joy over us with singing, Lord. Thank you for your mighty presence. As we enjoy your love and we enjoy your goodness, we thank you and we give you praise. Now, concerning our jobs and every activity from Monday to Friday, lift your hand. This presence must be with you. If thy presence go not with me, I don't like this job again. I don't want to be there. If your presence goes not with me in this relationship, into this school, into this place, I don't like that place again. Amato kabaraba. For the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty, mighty God, mighty God in your midst. Mighty God, mataka borabalada. In this relationship, if your presence is no more there, maratusa rimadala mutil begerebusa maronde sika mandola maba ramandalaba matosha mandalababa. Thank you for your mighty presence that is with us. We receive of your presence, we covet your presence, and we say, Lord, we will not go anywhere or be anywhere without your presence fully with us from today. Thank you, Lord. As we marry, as we take relationships, as we move forward, thank you. If you will not go with us to this marriage, we don't like the marriage again, Lord. Only your presence is what we require. For we are grass, and our goodliness is like the flower of the grass. Thank you for this mighty blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And as every head is bowed, if you are here and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, lift up your hand and I'm going to pray with you for the Savior of the world. Yes, the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, to be with you right now and to save you. Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. If God is in your midst, everything's going to be okay. He will save you. There'll be salvations. There'll be help. If you want to give your life to God, lift your hand like this now. Lift it up high and say this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, forgive me, Lord, for my sins. I come to you just as I am. Please receive me. Have mercy on me. I give my heart to you. I give my life to you, Lord Jesus. Save me, Lord. Change me, Lord. Make me a new person. I love you, Lord. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you for saving me, in Jesus' name. Please write my name. Please write my name in the book of life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. If you pray this prayer to give your life to Jesus, if you are lonely, if you need a friend, if you need a pastor, if you need a pastor to talk to, also, you can text us on the number. You can text from any country. Any country will accept this number. Just put plus and then start typing the numbers. And you can reach any from anywhere, from even from Australia. You can reach this number from the whole world. It was not so before. Before you have to send an email. Before you have to do so many things. Now just have to send a WhatsApp. Receive this number. Write it down. If you need a pastor at any time of the day or night, send a message and we will contact you and pray with you. At least prayer makes a difference. And I know your life will never be the same. Amen. At this time, we're going to receive our Holy Communion. Amen. Let's sing that song again. Holy, holy, holy. You know, as we sing this song, please take your communion. Don't eat lunch now. We're going to have lunch after. Don't eat lunch now. Don't do anything apart from church things right now. Please become a master and an expert of having church from home. Please, I'm going to give you some announcements when I finish. So stand by. But, you know, the news is that the corona is at record levels. It has never been at this level before in the world. So it's zooming to the highest level. So you must become a master of everything from home. Okay, without backsliding at home. You can't stay home and watch pornography all the time. You are going to read books. You are going to listen to messages. You are going to become more spiritual and more anointed. Yeah, and even go higher through this prayer time. Amen. So, take out your Holy Communion. There are very important announcements I want to give to you after, but for now, take out your Holy Bread. The Holy Bread Marasata maruba la kabashandole.
Holy, 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 God, God.
Let the holiness of God penetrate our lives. Let the humility of God penetrate our lives. Let the goodness of God come into us. Let the faith of God, the love of God, the goodness of God enter into us as we partake of this amazing body of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you as we lift up the body and we say, let your holiness be imparted to every one of us. Thank you, Father, for your blessing. We receive the body of Jesus Christ at this time. The body of Jesus Christ. Blessing. It's different from all the cups you've drank from. It's different from all the drinks you've had. This is the cup of blessing. Father, thank you for the blood of Jesus. As we receive the blood of Jesus Christ, let our wickedness and our sinfulness be washed away. The memory, the curse of our evil, removed by this blood. Let it be remembered no more. Don't let our sins come up like how the sea would throw up the rubbish that is in it. Let our sins not come up as the dustbin that has been thrown into the sea and is coming forth with evil from the depth of the seas. Let there be nothing that will come forth against us, Adaramusha Tabaraba, because of the blood, because of the blood, because of the blood. When I see the blood, I will remember no more. I'll pass over you, I will heal you, and I'll forgive you. The blood of Jesus Christ. Lift your hands for your blessing. According to the faith of those listening, Lord, let them be lifted up to divine ideas, divine thoughts, divine moments, divine ideas, bright revelations, visions, dreams. May we sleep and wake up knowing what to do next. By your Spirit, may there be revelations, visions, dreams, and directions. Thank you. There will be no more blindness and darkness over our lives. I command the dark cloud that hides goodness from your life to be dispelled. I repel it and I rebuke it. And I say, go back to where you came from. In the name of Jesus. Clarity comes. Light comes. Peace comes. Answers come. Now, I sense the spirit of confusion. Should I go left? Should I go right? Should I go left? Should I go right? Lift your hand and receive clarity. Guidance. It's delivered into your hand at this time. Your way is clear. Your way is clear. Your way is clear. In the name of He who began a good work in you, who laid down in the grave and rose up after 3 days triumphantly, I bless you with light, light, light. Now, let there be a wind, the wind of the Spirit, blowing over you, cleansing you, giving you fresh air. Receive a freshness over your stillness, your deadness, your emptiness, and your dryness. Ah, you shall no more be called a dry tree whose time is past. You shall no more be considered withered. But now, freshness from the fresh Holy Spirit comes upon you. May you enjoy His presence and walk with Him daily. Ah, may He accompany you in all that you stay and do. And may people say, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He has really saved you. He has rejoiced over you with singing. He has joyed over you with dancing and with joy. Thank you, Father. Let this testimony be given to anyone who is part of this service. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is truly a mighty God. Thank you, Father, for being a mighty Savior in our lives. In Jesus' name, be blessed. Amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.